with one swing of the bat, Francisco Lindor can make this a two-run game. Lindor bounces in. It hits Ross. The run scores. Here comes Kipnis. He's safe. It's 5-3. Here's David Ross, John, that's had a tough time with concussions. That ball hit him square. And by the time he fell down, got up, Kipnis with great base running is ahead of the tag. Ross flies one into center, sends Davis back at the wall. It's gone! The 39-year-old in his final game, David Ross, has made it 6-3. The first home run allowed by Aroldis Chapman since June 18th, and it comes with two outs in the bottom of the eighth.
Welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast.
And welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast, Thursday, November 3rd, 2016, show number 232.
Here are your hosts, Stephen B.
Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Lee, in New York, and in Boston we have Steve. Steve, baseball's back.
It's over.
It's over. It is, but it's back.
But there's nothing.
Well, there's
what can you do?
There are probably more WBC qualifier games out there if any of the ads during the World Series reminded us.
Italy versus Panama. That's going to get the juices flowing.
I need it, though,
those
Steve.
WBC ads where they're like, and the Italians take the lead. I'm like, what game are they watching?
I need it, though, Steve. I need more baseball because last night's game was fantastic. And Steve, Cleveland blew a 3-1 lead, if you haven't heard.
They did?
They did.
But Cleveland, they overcame a 3-1 lead and then made fun of the team they beat so much.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard, they 3-1 lead. People can lose those sometimes. It's pretty crazy.
That's some Warriors karma for being sore winners.
There are also some very nice journalists officially declaring that Steve Bartman can now come out of hiding. It's very nice of them to...
Oh, thank God.
...to allow another human to do that.
Yeah. I got my blessing from, Bruce Levine. Is he a Chicago writer?
Yeah. Even Adam Schefter...
come out now.
Even Adam Schefter, I believe the tweet was, Steve Bartman can shave his beard and come out of hiding. Adam, thank you, Adam. I'm sure he will take that to heart. But yes, no more GOATs, no more Steve Bartman, no more whatever Alex Gonzalez errors at shortstop. The Cubs are World Series champions and did in spectacular fashion, Steve. Last night's game, 8-7 win in extra innings and a 10-inning affair at Game 7 of the World Series. They had literally everything you could possibly want in a World Series game, except for maybe starting pitchers going deep and looking sharp is both scuffle a little bit, both Hendricks and Kluber. Or not so much Hendricks, really.
Why did they pull Hendricks so early?
So let's start there. So let's just go over thoughts of the game. Steve is playing his Jordan flu game right now.
I'm not feeling very well. There's a cat outside the door meowing, dying.
But let's start there. Kyle Hendricks coming out after 4 2/3 and 63 pitches. A little too early, maybe?
Yeah, to go, but Matt made a big deal about not bringing Lester in a dirty inning, which is like a dirty inning is like the most Joe Madden. The worst part about the Cubs winning is that Joe Madden is now like going to be considered like a Hall of Fame worthy manager, even though he sucked a fat one last night.
He was not good.
Over and over again. And then what's he do? He brings Lester in the middle of an inning with who was on base even?
Santana walked, I believe.
Oh, it wouldn't. And who the fuck was the home plate umpire? Tony Randazzo? Was that who it was?
Holbrook, Sam Holbrook.
Holbrook, yeah. He was brutal. And Hendricks pretty much struck out Santana, and they called it a ball, and then next pitch was ball four. So Hendricks probably shouldn't even come out of the game. It was, what, 5-1 at that point?
And he was at 62 pitches, and the pitch he, you know, walked, like, quote, struck out Santana on was a great pitch. Like, he was putting it right where he wanted to.
Yeah, and then, but he was just, Madden was so hot to get Lester in and to take out Wilson Contreras, who hit a booming double for David Ross. And the Cubs fans' obsession with David Ross is just baffling to me. It's not like he's like a lifer.
Mm-hmm.
When did he join the team, like a year ago?
Yeah.
Like Eddie Vedder giving him a shout. And first of all, fuck Pearl Jam also. Pearl Jam sucks. They've never been good. And like Eddie Vedder giving David Ross a shout out. None of this makes sense to me why, like, the Cubs fan base is the worst, I'm saying it right now, the worst fan base in baseball is the Cubs fan base. They worse than the Red Sox, worse than the Yankees, worse than the Cardinals even, I'm throwing that out there, because at least Red Sox, Yankees, and Cardinals fans, they're not like these obnoxious, like, shitty celebrities from, like, the 1980s. Like, showing John Cusack at every game. Who gives a fuck? Name one movie John Cusack's been in since, like, 1989. I'm serious. Name one.
The Matrix probably came out in the 90s.
That was Keanu Reeves.
John Cusack. Con Air.
I don't think he was in that either.
No, he was. He was the FBI agent.
He looks like a guy.
He was trying to save Nicolas Cage. But yes, Jason Patrick was in Wrigley Field. Bonnie Hunt.
Bonnie Hunt sitting with Eddie Vedder last night. Like, and I'm a Bill Murray fan. I enjoy his movies, but God, I'm sick of that dude too.
Bill Murray was obnoxious post game. I know you missed some of it because you were not feeling well, but he was out of control post
game. Yeah, the second the game ended, I was like, "Fuck it, I'm going to bed."
But this bottom of the fifth inning, yeah, that's when it got interesting. Yeah, so it was a 5-1 game, Cubs, and you're thinking the Cubs are cruising here.
A 5-point game?
5-1. 5-2-1 game. 5 runs for the Cubs, 1 for the Indians. And then David Ross, the beloved David Ross, gets tagged with a tough error, coming in cold off the bench and having to throw down at first base on what was a swinging bunt by Jason Kipnis, because John Lester refuses to move 10 feet off of the mound to the side he's actually finishing on.
Is that the weirdest thing you've ever seen? That the fact that John Lester, even yesterday, he had a chance to turn like a very easy double play,
and then the ball got
froze.
No, and then it got caught in his glove. It got caught.
It's because it's all in his head. It's all in his head.
Yeah,
it's
weird.
It's so bizarre. But yeah, they bring up David Ross. Lester bounces one off his face after the throwing error. And then Jason Kipnis with the base running of the century, scoring from second on a pass ball. So two, or it was a wild
pitch. It was a wild pitch, yeah. He threw it like 55 feet, basically.
Yeah, the two-run scoring on it, getting the game back right into how Cleveland wanted it. And then instantly, David Ross with a concussion. It's a home run. It makes no sense.
Well, the wild pitch that scored Kipnis and Santana was also another issue of John Lester not being able to throw, because it bounced, hit Ross in the face, scooted towards the first base dugout, and Ross got his feet caught, so he fell down. It looked like he got knocked out, like he was a puncher, like a boxer, and got punched like right in the chin.
I thought he was concussed.
He may have been, but if you look, his feet got like tangled up, like his cleat got stuck. So that's the only reason why Kipnis was able to score from second, because Lester, he was no help running after the ball trying to throw home. So another instance Lester's inability to throw coming back to bite him, which is why, again, Joe Maddon, why, you're supposed to bring him in a clean inning, not when a guy's on first base.
Yeah, but the Lester refusing to field ground balls is just, it's almost like obnoxious.
Crazy. But then top of the sixth, Andrew
Miller makes me angry.
It kind of goes to show how real, you know, pressure, you know, people make fun of clutch and stuff. It's like, how do you argue that when there's this guy who can throw perfect, you know, cutters that paint the black, but then freaks the fuck out when it comes to throwing the ball to a base?
That's so weird.
Anyway, top of the sixth, Andrew Miller comes in. It's now a 5-3 baseball game. David Ross comes back in this inning and hits a homer to dead center, almost exactly in the same spot that Dexter Fowler, who led off the game, put one right over the outstretched arm of Rajai Davis in center field, a solo job, making it a 6-3 game. That run will come back and be crucial for the Chicago Cubs as we fast forward here through the seventh inning and eighth inning into the bottom of the eighth, 6-3 game, Indians down to their last about four, five, six outs here. Aroldis Chapman comes in after John Lester settles down for a couple more good innings. Chapman immediately allows a double to Brandon Guyer, who jams it to right center. Guyer was locked into that bat. I was texting you during that one saying, he's basically saying he was going to get hit. I mean, every pitch, he was right on him. Chapman was just throwing fastballs and had a runner on base because he doesn't like to pitch when a runner's on base. So,
which is a good quality of a closer.
Yeah, not something you want. That Guyer double scores. Jose Ramirez tying it, or excuse me, making it a 6-4 game. And then runner on base and Guyer and Rajai Davis steps to the plate, gets a fastball low and in, swings, puts a great swing on it. Looks like it's just going to be maybe slicing foul. It clears that 20-foot left field wall in Cleveland.
It hit a camera.
364 feet, but it was just a line drive shot. Didn't really have to put too much swing behind it if you're Rajai Davis with that 90. It was in the only high 90 mile per hour fastball from Aroldis Chapman. That is a two-run home run. That makes the game 6-6, so we head into the top of the ninth.
The thing that sucked for, and you saw this with Miller, you saw it a little bit with Allen, you saw it with Shaw, you saw it with Chapman. These relievers are burned the fuck out by the time they got to game 7. Like, none of these guys had anything left.
Yeah, we were talking about it the other day, is how Chapman, when he would come in during the regular season, it was always 100 miles per hour, crank it up to 103.
103?
Yep.
105 at one point this year.
He was 97, 98, 99. Touched 100, I think, once.
Well, he threw like 100 pitches the last three games.
Yeah. So,
and then same with Miller's been like just driven to the ground, and he had nothing last night.
Andrew Miller's, so that David Ross home run that barely eked over the wall that made it from a 5-3 Cubs lead in the sixth to a 6-3. That came back to bite him here.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like the Indians were always playing catch up. They never really could put the pressure on the Cubs. But this bottom of the eighth, though, with you know, the World Series on the line, with the Indians seemingly done, there are definitely echoes of all the curses and everything. If you're a Cubs fan or a player, you're aware of, and I think it all kind of came to the forefront. And the Cubs seemed to get tight. But
when they showed that Wrigleyville bar after the Rajai Davis home run, it was pretty sweet.
Did you? What was your reaction when he hit that home run? Because you were watching with Mrs. Steve, I believe, right?
Yes, Cleveland's own Mrs. Steve. It was pandemonium in the house. We were going wild.
Did you think he had any shot to hit that deep?
Yes, and here's why. Chapman couldn't, for a guy who throws really hard, like even when mm-hmm. he just started like 102, people can really foul balls off pretty easily off of him.
Yep.
And Davis and Guyer before were just on everything, and I didn't think Davis was going to hit a home run, but I thought, like, I was pretty positive he was going to get a hit because he was, like, fouling off every single ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, he has, like, what? He has, like, 50 career home runs and 4,000 at bats. So.
55 career home runs and 3,600 at bats and Basically 4,000 plate appearances, yeah.
Yeah, so good time for that one. And it's good for him because he could not have sucked more in the field. So he was, it's something about center field in Cleveland that was just garbage.
So yeah, that actually, besides the David Ross home run, it kind of skipped over some of the earlier scoring from the Cubs. Chris Bryant tagging up in, what inning was that? It was probably the, it was top four, I believe, or top three, somewhere in there. Roger Davis didn't really get a nice running start like you'd want into a lazy fly ball when a guy's on third base. Thus had a crow hop and have a longer exchange, and that came back to bite him. So that was another run. Chris Davis definitely got his ass down the line. But
you, Chris Bryant?
What did I say?
Chris Davis,
yeah, Chris Bryant. So, tough one there. Rajay Davis, Connecticut guy.
Is he?
Born in Norwich, went to New London, and then graduated from UConn at Avery Point, which I've never heard of in my life.
What? UConn at Avery Point?
Three major leaguers in the history of the game have gone to UConn at Avery Point.
What, really? Who are the other two?
Both relatively recent. John McDonald.
Remember him?
Remember him?
Blue Jay
Great. He played for 16 years in the major leagues.
He did?
Good for him. 16 seasons.
All you need to do is catch a baseball.
And Pete Walker as well. Never really heard of him. But Roger Davis, I think, atoned for any fielding sins, as they weren't necessarily errors he made, but just, you know, if you paid attention to the game, they were definitely crucial plays that you're going to look back
on. Well, he also misplayed the shit out of the Contreras double.
Yep, that too. Got a bad jump on that. So, tough game for Davis, but I think, you know, that home run, again, that's what I'm talking about. It just felt like they were always behind, and they always had a – they were always behind. So, just really couldn't apply the pressure. But after that home run, it really felt like the momentum had shifted. But
I thought for sure Cleveland was going to win.
Top nine all of a sudden, though, gets a little dicey too, as Jason Hayward gets to third base on some good running by him and a bad throw by Yan Gomes down to second. Javi Baez with a full count, Jason Hayward on second, one out. What do they do, Steve?
Jason Hayward on third.
Jason Hayward on third.
Baez squares the bunt and hits it right foul and strikes out.
Crazy.
It was the worst play I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was, they gave away the out. I don't hate they the might as well just, call. I don't hate the call. I don't hate it. I just wish Baez had squared from the outset, though. And so if he squared kind of late, like he should have just broadcast it immediately and just like locked in and try to get a good bunt down.
No, the guy hit a massive home run in like the third inning. Like, I let him swing away.
True. I think maybe because he was been scuffling the whole World Series though, besides that home run, maybe Matt was thinking. But yeah, another one you can chalk into the Joe Madden questionable managing side of things.
No, but he's quirky.
We head to the bottom ninth, pretty painless inning for Chapman, and then the rain starts, Steve. We have roughly, what, like a half hour rain delay, maybe? Somewhere in
there. I think it was like 17 minutes.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. It went by pretty fast.
Yeah.
But it felt like any of the momentum had obviously shifted come top 10.
I don't know if it shifted. It just killed it.
Killed it.
Killed any momentum that the Cubs. And like the worst part about it was that Shaw had to sit around.
Yep.
He had to sit through it. Because like the top of the ninth, I can't remember. Did anyone get on base? Or in the bottom of the ninth?
Bottom of the ninth was 1-2-3.
Okay, so Shaw wasn't sitting around for that long. But he didn't have anything.
Lindor came up in the bottom of the ninth. It felt like he was due. He'd been cold pretty much the entire World Series, and he made a fantastic play.
Santana just got under it when he flew out.
Yep. No, that's a good point, too. Santana just missed one. But Lindor, in the top half of the frame, made a great play with someone Hayward was still on third, right? And then he had that little flare up the middle, Fowler, that is. And then Lindor made a great play, ranging all the way to his left, strong throw, moving away from the first baseman.
Luis Gonzalez play.
Yeah, great play. So it felt like he was due, but No, alas, it was a 1-2-3 inning in the bottom of the ninth. Santana, Kipnis, and Lindor went down, the heart of their order.
Oh, Kipnis. Fox's great camera work. Kipnis hit a foul ball. Fox made the camera seem like it was going 10 rows into the bleachers.
He got a hanger. He missed it. He's gonna be thinking about that one, I'm sure. Kipnis, that is.
Yeah.
So anyway, we headed to the top 10. Brian Shaw is still in, like Steve talked about. I think that probably affected him, that 20-minute or so rain delay.
Keep talking while I blow my nose.
Kyle Schwarber, unbelievable World Series. 3-for-5, I believe, last night. With the shift on, beats the shift, jams it through into right field. Almora comes in, pinch runs, and then you know what? And heads up base running by Almora. Brian Oates hits one deep. Almora moves to second, again, obviously a tie game here in the top of the 10th. Zobras doubles, slaps into left past the dive of Jose Ramirez, and that scores Almora. Miguel Montero, after the bases get loaded intentionally, slaps one into left field as well through the third base shortstop hole. And then our boy Trevor Bauer, with the bases still loaded, gets out of a huge jam for the Cleveland Indians as he strikes out Jason Hayward and gets Javi Baez to fly out, looking really good in those two batters. So an 8-6 game heading into the bottom of the 10th, thinking, all right, who they got? Aroldis Chapman? Is he going to come back out after the rain delay and pitching so many pitches over the last couple days? No, it's Carl Edwards Jr., Steve. And what's your thought now?
Isn't that like a NASCAR driver?
Carl Edwards, a member of, I believe, Fenway Roush Racing. So John Henry owns half of his ass. But, Carl Edwards Jr., thoughts, I guess, when he's walking out there, a guy who has, like, two career saves, and now he's out there in the World Series trying to shut the door.
Yeah, Carl Edwards Jr. looked like he's 5 years old. and he got the first two outs pretty quickly.
Very quick outs.
Yeah, and at that point I was like, well, it's over. Then he walked
Brandon Guyer,
and then Rajay Davis. Locked in at that point. Took him until the last two at-bats of the season to get to a hot streak. Just drills an RBI single to cut the lead to one. How crazy would it have been if Rajay Davis went deep twice in that situation? That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, me too.
And then they go and pull him. Mike Montgomery comes in to face Michael Martinez.
former Red Sox great Michael Martinez.
Yeah, this is how you wrote it up for this epic World Series then. Mike Montgomery versus Michael Martinez. A Red Sox burnout and a Mariners farmhand going against each other.
But he gets him to roll
over.
That
was a World Series.
terrible game. Got him to roll over, and then, yeah, that's the final out.
Chris Bryant smiling as he fielded it, and he was falling and tripped as he threw. I kind of wish he threw it away when he was like just grinning to himself.
That was a tough play.
Yeah, and then Rizzo smoothly pulling a Doug Minkiewicz, putting the ball in his back pocket. I was explaining to, Mrs. Steve, after the game about Doug Minkiewicz, and she was like, why do they care? And I was like, that's a good question. I don't know why they care. And who owns that Doug Minkiewicz ball now? Did we ever settle that?
I think he still does. I think he maybe
good for
he
donated him.
It. Yeah.
I don't know why this is reminding me of Doug Minkiewicz, but I don't know if you follow our boy, former Yankee Rays, I think Dodgers pitcher Tanyan Sturts, but he was tweeting throughout the night to Danny Graves and LaTroy Hawkins. They had like this like mediocre relievers like brotherhood going on. And it was amazing. They were like, and like David Wells started getting involved in it. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Let's talk about that. It was a great game. Great, like I said, baseball is back, Steve. What a night. I mean, all the people tweeting about it, LeBron flexing and crying.
Yeah, noted Yankee fan, LeBron James.
I hear what you're saying, though. Yeah, I mean, we needed to have the Cubs' hearts ripped out, which it almost seemed like they were, and then we needed them to be
now,
good next year.
Now the Indians have the longest drought, right?
It's just, yeah, they're not, you know, it's not the same. For the game, we really needed the Cubs to lose, because now even like Sunday night baseball games would be awesome next year, you know?
Yeah. If the Cubs lost like two World Series in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, what a third.
Yep.
So now they have a potential dynasty juggernaut.
No, I mean, they're going to be good next year, so I guess there'll still be some interest, you know, a lot of eyeballs on the game, so hopefully someone fell in love with a Cubs player over the course of the series. So if they were a casual fan, then maybe we'll check out the game a little bit more. I would say another winner here, Marlins man, big winner.
Was he there?
No, he was not there, because last time he was in Cleveland, they threatened his life, Steve, and said they would brandish a weapon and kill him if he came back there. So,
wow. Well, also, he's a douchebag, and you can't really see the first row in Cleveland, so.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. He cursed them, though, and yes, no Marlins
fan. That's why.
But yeah, congratulations, Marlins fan. I would say another winner. Any other winners you got or losers from this? Dexter Fowler for choosing to go back to the Cubs.
For not going to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Turned out a winner, A-Rod. Just a fantastic.
Great job by him.
Just a great breakdown of everything. Yeah, it was just, it was definitely the best World Series that we've had, probably the one I've been most interested in a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say yesterday's game was probably the best game since, I don't know if it was better than Game 6 in 2011. That's like the pinnacle of like professional baseball.
Mm-hmm. Matsui.
But I would put it up there.
Mm-hmm.
I would put it up there with like the 2001 Game 7.
Yep.
I'd put it up there with just thinking of, like, good playoff games, like the Aaron Boone game. I put it up there with that. It was an all-time classic, which is exactly what you want.
Yeah, you said the David Freese game in there, but when was Matsui's? Matsui was 2009, right?
What, when he had six RBIs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't like a really good game though. The Yankees kind of won that in a blowout.
That's true. But yeah, I guess David Freese last strike, right? And that's
Game twice. The Cardinals were down to their final strike twice.
Yeah. And then Nelson Cruz fucking up.
Yeah, I'd say that's still the best World Series game I've ever seen.
Yeah, I would agree. Great game, though. Speaking of Dexter Fowler, Frank Thomas after the game, quote, "He bet on himself, no pun intended, Pete Rose."
Yeah. Well, you see, they were giving A-Rod a hard time because they're talking about all the Cubs players who took less money to go to the Cubs, and they're like, "A-Rod, don't you wish you did that?"
Oh, man.
No pun intended. Wow.
Love That's those cool. guys.
Pete Rose looks like he sleeps in a fucking staircase, though. And the missus and I were talking. Like, this is after, like, a couple hours of being in makeup. That's the best they could do.
They should give them, a hot stove winter meetings TV show. And just put them in a room.
It's just amazing how good A-Rod looks. And Frank Thomas, for that matter, too. And how bad they have sandwiched Pete Rose sandwiched between these two, like, well-dressed, gigantic men. Frank Thomas is fucking... He is, like, A-Rod seems like a big guy, and he, like, towers over him.
Oh, my God, he's huge. Yeah.
Big hurt. Didn't you go meet him at a brewery or something?
I have. I've talked to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him because he did win a championship in Chicago, and like all the questions were like, "What would this championship mean for Chicago?" I'm like, "Frank Thomas won one there. He's a Hall of Famer in Chicago."
I would say big. I wonder. Yeah, I mean, Frank Thomas doesn't get his due. It's kind of sad because he's like so nice and gentle, which is why he's great for that show. He's just like the guy who's laughing at everyone's jokes and then throws in the occasional zinger. I like it. It's you know, it's exactly like TNT. It's like, because these guys were literally like the legends of the game. Like, they can get away with anything. You know, just like how Shaq and maybe not Kenny Smith, but Shaq, Barkley, and Kenny Smith at least had the championships. So, No, yeah, but Kenny Smith does, and you know, Barkley was still like an all-time great player, so you can't really, you know, they get away with stuff. They get away with stuff is my point, I guess. But I would say another winner would be, speaking of the broadcasting, would be John Smoltz, who not only called like a bunch of things happening, he just does it in a way that it's not like he's, even if you're a fan of baseball, he's not being like, here's what a curveball is, or he's not being too
basic. Like the Joe Morgan, Tim McCarver people?
Exactly. But he's still...
They call it a strike out because you get three strikes.
Yeah. So he's not explaining the basic like rules and fundamentals of the game, but he kind of is at the same time, you know? Yeah, he's like breaking it down in like a small way that even if you're like... You know, and he's another guy, granted only one World Series title, but another guy who has like the credentials where he can't ever be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, he knows more than you.
He pitched that, he was on the losing end of that 1-0 game in 91 and then the game seven, so he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
This goddamn cat.
Black cat, another Cubs narrative, blowing out the door last night. I would say Theo Epstein, a big winner as well, breaking the curse. Cubs, Red Sox, 1918-1908.
I have another winner.
Real fast about Theo Epstein, though.
Okay, I didn't know.
Real fast. I know I've already ranted about him in many episodes, but God, fucking had him. Reading the quote when he was hired from 2003, promising a championship, promising to make them into a juggernaut of player development and scouting.
Hey, he did.
And he did it, and he did in Chicago, so big winner for him.
It's absolutely insane that he broke both curses.
Yep.
It's nuts. Yeah, it's...
You said you had another one?
Yeah, I'd say we're winners because we don't have to wake up early anymore to talk about baseball.
We're winners, Steve. It is the perfect end to a baseball season for us, for the fans, for hopefully for the listeners who enjoyed game 7.
Oh my God, they carried David Ross off the field. This is the weirdest thing. His 16-year career with the with the Chicago Cubs.
Did you see I would say a huge winner in the series. Anthony Rizzo. Because I think he's parlayed himself into some sponsorship opportunities here.
Oh, yeah.
Really, like, aw shucks type of guy, you know, great player as well, and had some great quotes. And they had that one moment where he was talking to David Ross, and he was, like, freaking out. And David Ross is like, stay calm, like, young little one, basically. And he's like, stay focused on the game. It was pretty cool. You forget that the younger players are, like, kids, you know, they played in the minors, didn't go to college. They have no concept of the real world. Unlike, you know, a guy like David Ross, who's I think married with kids. You know, he's been around the block. So
that's true.
Big win. Big win there for David Ross and for Anthony Rizzo. Anything else? No losers. We're going to be positive, as Joe Madden wants us to be on Twitter. No negativity on Twitter. Only positivity from us, I think, today.
Yeah. Only pause. I'm fading real fast. I'm sorry.
Steve is falling to the arms of myself, Scottie Pippen, in this scenario. As he's done it, he got through the flu game. Congratulations to Steve for a great performance today. John Smoltz, Ben Zobrist, Chris Bryant, Jake Arrieta, John Lester, not Aroldis Chapman. Great job by all of them, and for Rajah Davis and the Cleveland Indians and Terry Francona as well. Maybe a couple questionable moves from him, but overall, great game. Trevor Bauer, fantastic job out of the bullpen last night, buddy. You did it.
Trevor Bauer? Oh, man, Miguel Montero. It must have made that championship even sweeter. Trevor
Bauer along the way. Great point. Oh,
you don't know me.
You don't know me. Awesome game. Hope. Thank you, everyone, for listening, downloading, sharing, supporting the show, whatever you've done over the course of the season. Have enjoyed this one, Steve. I think we were sporadic, but I think when the baseball got interesting, we got locked in, and you know, hopefully you guys enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, and I'm not kidding. This laptop is like on its last leg, so it's good that the season's over. Like, it's dead. It's not. It doesn't charge anymore, so we're about half battery life now.
This is it, Steve, but we'll be back maybe over December, November, if there's a huge free agent signing. Can we please get some off-season fireworks? We haven't had that in years. Could we get an A-Rod maybe to Boston trade? Could we get a Curt Schilling Thanksgiving dinner moment? I would love to have that happen and talk about it if it does. Until then, thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. And as always, you can find us on Twitter, Pepper_Aloud, where we'll, of course, be tweeting. Steve, any final words or thoughts for the people at the end of the final show of the 2016 regular and postseason?
So long, everybody.
Trevor Bauer, nice job. Play us out.
You judge me on appearance, you don't judge me on my merits, because you don't know me. Nope, you don't know me. Why not? You hide behind a mask to facilitate attacks, but you don't know me. You won't know me.